This morning, the reading will be taken out of the Old Testament, page 704 in the Pew Bible. I told Wendy, let's start being user-friendly in the church here so everybody can have it marked before we get up here and read it. So it's page 704. It's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. A thought struck me, even just this morning, about the Bible and about the place that water is given a prominent introduction throughout the Bible. You know, it goes all the way back, you know, a mention of rivers in the Garden of Eden to when the Israelites, led by Moses, went through the Red Sea. There was a lot of different things. The Sea of Galilee where Christ walked on the water. There's all kinds of illustrations. But this passage in Isaiah really captures the spirit of baptism. You said, well, it's Old Testament. Well, you know, you can see baptism even found in the Old Testament, even though it was not practiced at that time. But it is there. It is there. You know, in religious life, there is so much change which affect church and society, but some things remain the same, and they are the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. You know, debate may rage in the church on theology, social issues, and what color the sanctuary carpet should be, but the stable force holding together are the sacraments. Think of it. These are something that has been established for 2,000 years. And in the form, it has not changed at all. And that's something, the commonality that we can see has gone down through the years, that baptism and the Lord's Supper is something that we truly should treasure. The sacraments, as I said earlier, engrafts us into the church, especially baptism. And baptism, however, and the sacraments come with a twist. Baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know, it says in the Scripture, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so it's done once in a person's life upon profession of faith. But Holy Communion, whereas Holy Communion is a continual observance of what our Lord established, instituted by our Lord in the upper room those many years ago in Jerusalem for our spiritual nourishment and well-being. Yes, it is spiritual nourishment for us. The Spirit of Christ prevails at the table, and we have to remember that Christ established it in a semblance of remembrance as something for our strength and for our continuance. It gives us strength where sometimes we don't have it. We run out of our spiritual strength through our faith. You know, the Lord's Supper is never to end until the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says that in the Scripture there. But you know, baptism and Holy Communion, to paraphrase the Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer, is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. You think about that. An outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Neither one is inferior to the other. We may not baptize as frequently as we should, but that doesn't mean it's relegated to second-class status at all. However, when both are relegated to second-class status, A spiritual lethargy will result. A spiritual lethargy will result. I have a friend who's a minister in a church, and they only observe the Lord's Supper once a year. And he says, I can tell it too. He was telling me. He said that it's just a matter of they should have it more frequently. It will give a time for them to be able to be able to reconcile themselves with the Lord. You think about that. The Lord's Supper is that time that you can even, use an old church word, repent. It's a time that you can ask forgiveness for God in your own heart. Ask for forgiveness from your neighbor, your family, whatever. And even ask for forgiveness for yourself, for our shortcomings. So all this was done deliberately by our Lord 2,000 years ago. The sacraments are beneficial for our faith journey and not to be taken for granted. As I said, when they're relegated to a second-class status, spiritual lethargy will result. This brings to remembrance that great book of the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel in chapter 37. It's the allegory about Israel, which is called the Valley of Dry Bones. You've heard of that. You've probably read it in several times, which referred to the spiritual dearth and poverty of once mighty Israel. God informed Ezekiel that those bones would live again and be raised from the spiritual dead. These bones, or them bones as the spiritual goes, was revived and were brought back to life. Is this possible today? Can you kick a dead horse back to life? Yes, it is, through the power of God. See, that's the thing. We need to rely upon the power of God, not just for our neighbor, but for ourselves. When you feel spiritually depleted, you know, I said the Lord's Supper is one great place for spiritual nourishment, but also to turn to God in prayer. That valley of dry bones is an illustration, not just for the Old Testament, not for just the New Testament, but it reveals a spiritual dormancy. There's something about spiritual dormancy which sort of sounds like almost a fossilized church or a fossilized society. A lot of times, the church will go through cycles where it seems like it's become stagnant or stale. Have you ever noticed that? And then all of a sudden, it will get electrified. Something like this happened many years ago in China prior to the communist takeover in 1949. The reason for mentioning this is I've known people who witnessed what is now called the Great Shantung Revival. As a seminarian, I met an elderly lady who was a retired missionary. Her name was Miss Martha Franks. She's dead now, but she was really the sweetest person, one of the sweetest people I ever met. She served over 40 years in China and Formosa and the Philippines. She shared her eyewitness report of the Great Shantung Revival, which began in the late 1920s. There was much spiritual shallowness and conflict among all the denominations in China. China was under the control of warlords and bandits, and soon to have the threat of Japan in their backyard. Chinese preachers, elders, deacons, church members, and Western missionaries were at each other's throats. Churches split for the nitpickiest reasons. Missionaries couldn't get along, let alone work together. A miracle was needed to rejuvenate the Church of China. And it happened that something did occur. People from all walks of life in the church, including the missionaries, sensed that something must be done. By the way, many of the churches were on the brink of financial ruin, and some were actually ready to close their doors. Half-empty churches were common because people had lost all interest in attending worship. In the Shantung province, which is sort of to the southeast of Beijing, along the coast in there, there was something that a group of Chinese Christians and Western missionaries began praying for an end to this spiritual drought. It was nothing fancy. One of the missionaries, I knew of her. I didn't know her personally had an eye problem. She was actually going blind. And suddenly the Chinese Christians and the missionaries started praying, and her vision improved, and she threw away her glasses. She didn't need them anymore. That wasn't Pentecostalism. That was the power of God working through prayer. Remember that. God works through prayer. If we would only tap that great resource of prayer every day. But it wasn't, they didn't even have organized prayer meetings. But suddenly spiritual renewal entered the Church of China. Methodists and Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and others all prayed together. And this spiritual renewal spread throughout China from the Manchuria all the way close to the borders of Tibet. It went like wildfire all over the place. And excitement mounted that the Holy Spirit was involved in something that had never been witnessed previously. The Holy Spirit opened the hearts of Christians to cease gossiping and bickering, to support the church financially through tithing, and removed negative attitudes among the clergy, elders, deacons, and missionaries. And speaking of clergy, you've never been around a group of ministers when they're negative. It can be a rotten place. But truly, that's what the Holy Spirit did. It eradicated all that negativity, and the church started growing and prospering from all this. And it did experience spiritual renewal and growth. But there was one factor which reasserted itself, and I bet you thought I'd forgotten about it, but it was the re-emphasis of baptism and the Lord's Supper. You see, during that time, they'd sort of allowed it to sort of scoot under the pews, to sort of phase it out a little bit. Why? I don't know. But baptism and the Lord's Supper was not emphasized in any of those churches. And so, guess what? A lot of that spiritual lethargy and that laziness or whatever you want to call it, it did affect the church. And a lot of people attribute that to the lack of the sacraments, to celebrating them. The sacraments in reality do make us focus upon God, accompanied by the need for prayer. With God, all things are possible, but returning to the basics will undermine that spiritual lethargy and laziness. You know, have you ever noticed something? When we get a little too complicated with things, it seems like we move a little bit away from God. That happens. That keep it basic, keep it simple. There's nothing wrong with basic and simple. It actually keeps us warmed up and closer to God. It is possible to think about all this and then realize that prayer is the primary ingredient. William Carey, an 18th century missionary from England, said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." Think about that. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. But you know, sometimes we're all nervous about doing that, taking that what they used to call a leap of faith. It's like walking around in a dark room with the curtains pulled and no lights on, and you don't know what's in front of you or what's, you might know what's behind you, but you have to put your foot out and sort of check about the front. And with all of us falling around here, I don't recommend us turning the lights out anytime soon like that. But that's what it is. It's a leap of faith when we do attempt great things for God. But the faith factor is that we have confidence that God will follow through. God will follow through. Do you prefer to be a stale and bored Christian or one who is experiencing a vibrant faith? We must pray that God will impact our communities through the churches of America and through the churches here in Polk County as well. Feeling spiritually depleted? Well, today, become spiritually nourished through the Lord's Supper. It's available here. And have you neglected being baptized? Or perhaps your children have never experienced the covenant waters of baptism? Don't procrastinate. Procrastination is probably the leading sin in the church today. We procrastinate about everything. But one thing we need to do is to repair faith through the help of God. Don't procrastinate. Make your faith something that is vibrant and something that is renewed through God. Are your ducks, or should I say, your faith priorities in order. Stability requires that your faith priorities and your ducks are in order there. Well, I hope they are, but if not, it's not too late. Nothing is too late when it comes to God. Remember the great Shantung Revival? Well, if the Holy Spirit recharged the Chinese church, the same could be applied to us today. Many people say that the great Shantung Revival never ended, that it's still going on. Well, perhaps it's just awaiting to be invited here into our community. Let us pray. God, sometimes in our faith walk and faith journey, we get sidetracked and we get lost along the way. Help us to concentrate and focus upon you more in our lives every day. May we seek to please you in every way possible. May we get back to the basics and simplicity of the faith. Let us never think of ourselves as too superior, too arrogant to be able to be humble before you. We give thanks always, O Lord, through Christ our Savior. Amen.